Tonight we're here to encourage you. We're here to alarm you. We're here to awaken you to the eternal home that you have. It's a choice you get to make. And it's a time that the next few minutes, I think, are going to absolutely radically change your life. In 1989, an 18-wheeler hit a Ford Escort that had my next guest in that car. Through that tragic accident, he died for 90 minutes and supernaturally passed through that veil and saw heaven, was brought back in an incredible way. You've seen his books everywhere, 90 Minutes in Heaven. He's our guest. We're bringing him right here to your home. We're going to hear his story, how it's changed his life, how it will change yours. Please welcome a dear friend and a great man of God, Don Piper.
Thank
man,
you,
welcome
brother.
Back
Thank
to
you.
TV.
Honor to be here. Thank you. Great. Glad to be here. Thank you.
Don, it's great to have you. We really, it's, you know, you and I, we talk at TBN. We meet, talk, and...
Right. This is where we meet.
Yeah,
right here.
This is where we talk. And I want to just say how thankful I am. First of all, when I look at it from a bigger picture, that God loves us enough to have heaven prepared for us. And then that God loves us enough that he would allow you to go through what may sound really romantic to people now, but you went through really a physical hell.
Yes.
But to be able to go to heaven and come back and give us a sense of the home that we all have, I say thank God for that, because people need to know that there's more to life than what's right here. And man, I'm just thrilled for what God has done in your life.
Well, heaven is the most real thing I ever experienced, more real than anything we hear, although Jesse's seeing it is pretty close. I didn't plan to have a wreck. None of us plan to have bad things happen to us. You were talking about Stephen Curtis Chapman's little girl just a few minutes ago. What a great loss, a heaven's gain. Mm. But I was on my way to church to speak, do a Wednesday night prayer service, a prayer meeting, Bible study. I didn't make it. I was on my way there and an 18-wheeler on a rural highway in East Texas crossed the center stripe and hit me head on. I was killed instantly. How do we know this? Well, four different EMTs examined me, and they all came to the same conclusion. I was killed when the big truck struck me, and I was covered up with a tarp. You know, the windows are out of the car is crushed. 18-wheeler ran over the car, crushed it, shoved up against the railing of the bridge. And I lay there in the car for a long time waiting for someone to come and take the body away. While that was happening, though, I got an incredible glimpse of what happens next. None of us gets out of this alive, you know. We're just passing through here. This is, we're pilgrims. Mm. This is not our home. We have a home not made with human hands. And I got to see it and experience it, and it was just the most awesome thing that you can possibly imagine. Far more than human words can describe. We'll do our best today to talk about it that way. But it's really more than human words, earthly words can describe. Mm. And then I came back. 90 minutes later, a man crawled in the car and prayed for me. And while he was praying for me and singing that great old hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," over my dead body, because God told him to pray for me, even though he didn't understand why he would be praying for a dead man.
So a man kind of crossed through the line here where the car was. You were in the...
Yeah, we were all coming home from a conference. Yeah, we were all coming home from a conference, so there was a whole line of probably 200 pastors on a highway leaving a conference center, and I was one of the first out. He was back behind me down the highway, and he just got, you know, he got out of this car to go see what was going on. Why are we stopped? You know? Well, he walked up, and he saw that it had been a terrible wreck. There were actually four vehicles involved, the truck and three cars, including mine. And he walked up to the policeman. He said, "I'm a pastor. Is there anybody I can pray for here?" And he was told, "There's no one to pray for. Everyone else in the accident is fine. The man in the red car, pointing at me, is dead. He's a fatality. He didn't make it." Well, when the policeman said that, God spoke directly to the pastor. I like it when God speaks to pastors, don't you? Give me a pastor that God speaks to. And here's what he said: "Pray for the man in the red car." Well, he didn't understand that, and he didn't pray for dead people, but God told him to do it. He knew it was God. So he got permission to get in the car, actually in the car with the body, put his hand on my shoulder under the tarp. The body was covered up so nobody would have to look at it. And he's praying for me, and he does this for a long time. The accident happened 11:45 in the morning. At 1:15 in the afternoon, they're still waiting for someone to come and take the body away. He's praying for me. He's singing "What a Friend We Have in Jesus" over the body. Now, he's not the only one praying by this time. The church has been notified about my accident. They didn't tell him I died on the phone. All they knew is that I was in a terrible accident. They called hundreds of other churches and asked them to pray, too. So people really all over the world are praying. All they know, though, is that I've been in a bad accident. This man knows I'm dead. He's got his hand on my shoulder. He's praying. 90 minutes later, suddenly, without any warning in the tarp, as he's singing "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," I start singing the song with him.
Yeah.
Come on.
And Phil, you won't be surprised to hear he got out of the car really fast at that point. It was frightening, you know. And he went over to the policeman and said something really ridiculous. The dead man is singing. And nobody believed him. He was finally able to convince them to do that. They extracted me. I was taken to several hospitals. I finally wound up in a hospital. I was in a hospital bed for 13 months, had 34 major operations to surgically reattach my left leg, my left arm, fix my right leg. I broke everything you can break. I had brain damage, internal injuries. It is beyond miraculous that I live and walk and sit here with you today. So I believe in miracles. I believe in answered prayer. And I believe in heaven. Heaven is real. Wow. I've seen it.
One of the most moving aspects of it, I know that when people experience heaven, even John, when he wrote about it, there's a lot lost in translation.
Yes.
But one of the most moving things from your book and from your testimony has to do with answered prayers. This has been so motivating because I feel comfortable about going to heaven, but this about answered prayers and what happened to you and the people that you saw has really radically changed my life. Talk to us about answered prayers.
I believe we have not because we ask not. A lot of people prayed that day because they've been asked to pray, but they did it. Even though, for one man, it made no sense to do that. I mean, to pray for someone who was already dead and had been dead for some time. And yet, he knew God told him to do it, so he was faithful to do it. And God answered his prayer in a very dramatic and powerful way. So I believe in answered prayer. I am an answered prayer. And I believe that... let me ask you this question. Just those of you who are watching. What do you think would happen if we prayed with a kind of determination for lost souls in this world today, the way that man prayed over my dead body? Why, did we see a revival break out on the world that we've not seen in centuries? So I believe in answered prayer. I think God listens to our prayer. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is later. Sometimes it's a better answer than we've asked for. I'm glad I've lived long enough that I know why God's answered some of my prayers, no. Sometimes the answer should have been no.
Yeah.
If I'd got a yes answer, it would have been a disaster.
Yeah.
But we have not because we ask not. And I believe we ought to be a praying people. God wants to hear from his children. That's why we were created. And I believe in answered prayer. I'm here today because a lot of people prayed and God said yes.
What about the unique people that you saw? That's pretty powerful.
Yeah, I miss them so. One of the most exciting dimensions of heaven shouldn't surprise us. It's a reunion with those that have gone before us. I sat in too many churches and funeral homes during memorial services for people that I love. We all do. If we live long enough, we'll experience that. And I miss those folks. I was temporarily separated from them, which is what happens when they die and then we die. But I saw them at the gates of heaven, and they were spectacular. If you want to look good, heaven is the place you want to be. They were perfect in every way. They were ageless. They were blemishless. As you might imagine, from the neck down, I look like I fell in a farm implement. I have so many surgical scars and so many skin grafts and so many things where they had to put me back together again. In heaven, I didn't have a scar on me. The only one in heaven with scars is Jesus, and that's to remind the rest of us of how we got there. No one else will have scars. No one else will have age. No one will be blemished or marred in any way. You'll be absolutely, utterly perfect. And I was surrounded by these people, but not only were they unblemished and unaged, And not only were they all followers of Christ, the one thing they had in common for me, which really stunned me, and it's something I carry with me every day, is all the people I saw at the gates of heaven were people who helped me get there.
Mm.
They were people who told me about Christ. They were people who took me to church. There was a lady there named Miss Norris. I lived next door to her when I was 9 years old. My parents didn't go to church when I was a kid. And if I went, I had to go with someone else. Miss Norris took me to church. Mm. She had foster children in her home. She loaded up her station wagon every Sunday morning. Remember station wagons? Yeah, you were talking about albums. This is a station wagon.
Pointing the opposite
exactly.
direction in the back.
And so we got in the car, and she drove all the neighborhood kids to church. Mm. When I arrived at the gates of heaven, Miss Norris was there to greet me, and that's because she helped me get there.
Mm.
And all the people that I saw there at the gates helped me get there. And they were spectacular. It was a great reunion of those that had gone before me. But I guess it brings up another interesting question behind, beside the prayer question, and that's this. If we greet people at the gates of heaven that we help get there, who are you going to greet? Why are we still here? See, I think we're still here to help people get there.
Yes, sir.
I think that's why we live. I think that's why God has left us here. We've noticed that very seldom when we become Christians and followers of Christ do we immediately go to heaven. Many of us stay around for decades.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the reason for that is to help other people know about Christ and get to heaven too. And so I've dedicated my life since that day with an urgency to try to populate heaven. Mm. We want to get as many people there as we can. That's why Jesus died in the first place. Mm. And heaven is real, and you can go through Christ.
Mm. And you have. God has used this as an incredible tool. There's over 4 million copies of this book, 90 Minutes in Heaven,
yes.
that have been released. And, of course, the life of one book actually has several lives. So there has been literally tens of millions of people that I believe many of them. Let me ask you this question. What kind of response are you getting, particularly from unbelievers or what kind of response as you kind of go through what has happened that
you get? One of the interesting things about this book, and there are many, it's a book I never planned to write in the first place. I never really wanted to talk about my injury and accident and things like that. I just didn't want to relive it. Nobody would really want to go back over that, but it seems to help people, encourage people that you can have a terrible thing happen to you and live through it. I did. One of the interesting things about this book is you said there are about 4 million copies. It's in 30 languages. It's bought in non-Christian bookstores as much as it is in Christian bookstores. And I think that says something. There is a hunger for everybody to know what happens next. You know we don't stay here. What happens next? Is there life after death? There is. Is there heaven? Yes. Is there hell? Yes. And you're going to be in one or the other of those places. I think you know which one would be best. I think you know which one God would have you to be in. And so I find in a lot of this that it sells as much in just secular bookstores as it does in the other. And I think that's because it's a universal question. We know we were born and we know we're going to die. Where are we going after this?
Right.
Is there somewhere to go? Yes, there is.
Yeah.
And I've seen it. And I want to go back, but I want to take as many people with me as I can.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think, C.S. Lewis argues in the book Mere Christianity that the proof of something is in the desire. A child desires food, there is food.
Yes.
Our sexuality, there is fulfillment, there is purpose. That if you can desire it, he argues that it's part of the proof that it exists.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I believe the Bible tells us that God has placed eternity in our hearts. And I believe that people have a sense and they know. That's why people that are watching this show tonight, they're going to hear about the dark side of eternity, the light side, the joy, the sorrow. And you're intrigued. This show will be very, there'll be a lot of response to this program. And rightfully so, because people need to stop and think about eternity. And they need to, and Christians need to be encouraged that when we think about our friends that are facing a tragedy today, in the light of heaven, like you said, death is not a consolation prize for Christians. No. It is the entrance to the prize.
Yeah, the death rate here on earth is 100%.
Yeah,
none of us get out of this alive. And so we know that we sense there's something in every human being. You know, they used to talk about the God vacuum. You know, there's a God-shaped vacuum in all of us. I think there's also a sense of the eternal in all of us.
Yes.
And that is because we look back and we see where we came from and all the generations before, and we sense that this goes on. I just had my first grandchild last year. Mm. And when you hold that child, you sense that God is not finished yet, you know. He intends for us to go on. So in the process of having seen my grandparents at the gates of heaven and my great-grandparents, one of these days I will join them. And then afterwards, the generations after this, until Jesus returns. Yeah. So it's an urgency. I was on my way to church when I had a wreck. I wasn't doing something I shouldn't have done. I was actually going to do something that I believe God had called me to do. That's how quickly your life can end, and that's why we need to be ready for it to end at any moment, at any heartbeat, because it can. What if I hadn't have been ready? You know, we'll find out what happens when you're not ready.
Yes.
You know, what happens when you're not ready for eternity, because hell is just as real as heaven.
Yes.
And so I want to plead with people to make this decision. And it's not just because we're trying to get a number or something. It's because we just want to see you there.
Yes.
I tell everybody I speak to when I speak and travel, if I sit beside them in an airplane, I say, you know, I enjoyed meeting you here, and I hope I get to see you again. But if I don't, I want to see you at the gate.
Yes.
I want to see you at the gate.
See you at the gate.
And so I'm determined to do that. And I want to take as many folks as we can. Heaven is real. It's real.
And you have written another book called Heaven is Real.
Heaven is Real.
That really actually goes into more of the experience of heaven for you.
True.
You know, Don, you asked God to use this to help people come to Christ. Right now, people have watched this program for the first time. They've tuned in, and it's not by accident.
I don't think so either.
And they have been touched by this story. And I believe that they've let us in their home, and I believe they're ready to let Jesus come into their heart.
Oh, I pray it.
And if that's you, Don, take them now to Jesus and pray with them.
Jesus died on the cross so that we could defeat sin. Heaven is a holy place. God is a holy God. The only way you can go to heaven is to be holy. You say, well, I'm not holy. You're watching. Well, neither am I. But I can become holy because Jesus' death defeated sin. And that's the sin that I have and the sin that you have. And that allows me to enter into the gates of heaven. So you can defeat death and defeat sin. That's what Jesus did when he died on the cross. By accepting what he already did, heaven can be yours. And that means just accepting it. It's a gift. You have to take it, or it's not a gift. You know, if somebody gives you something, if you don't receive it, it's not a completed act. So you have to take what Jesus did. If you do that, heaven can be yours. We'll see you there.
Yes.
You may be there before us, or we may be there before you.
Yes.
But one way or the other, it'll be a great reunion, and we want to see you there.
Yes.
What you need to do is accept what Jesus did.
Yes.
What you need to do is ask him to forgive you of your sins and mean it. Ask him to forgive you your sins. Now, in doing that, it means turn away from them.
Yeah.
Determine that you're going to turn away from them.
Yes.
Don't just say you're sorry. Turn away from them.
Yes.
And he'll help you do that.
Yes.
And then thank him for this powerful thing, this life-changing thing that has come upon you. And tell him that you love him. Tell him that you believe in Jesus. Tell him that you know he died and rose again. And tell him that you can't wait to see him in heaven at the gates of heaven. And you will be there. I promise you, you'll be there. That's all you need to do. You say, there's more to it than that. No, there isn't. It's asking that forgiveness. It's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will be saved.
Beautiful.
And heaven will be yours. And I have news for you. You'll have a better life now.
That's right.
It may not be perfect.
That's right.
But I promise you, you'll have an abundant life now. That's what Jesus said would happen. So it's a better life now and an eternal life someday.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
Praise God.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Look. If you understood what Don was saying, there's a telephone number right on the screen. Call that number. We're not wanting anything from you tonight. This is all about you and connecting with God. We're not asking for a pledge. This is not about anything but you connecting with God. And that person that will answer that phone is ready to pray with you. It's very important that you go to that phone if you've been touched and you want to make heaven your home. It's a gift, but it's your responsibility to open that gift and to receive it. Part of doing that is getting on that phone, making that prayer. And we want to know that the purpose that God showed Don, heaven, what he had to go through and why he's here, happened to you tonight to get people ready for heaven. Man,